Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
We want to welcome you to the Church of Philadelphia Praise, Worship, and Deliverance Center this Sunday morning. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. I'm hoping, and praying that you're having a great morning this morning. Thank you for welcoming us into your home on this Sunday morning to be able to break open the Word of Life with you today. We look forward to what the Lord will speak to us and what He will share with us today. Amen. 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 We're going to get right into our decree for the Word. As we speak over ourselves, we decree this thing into our life. Amen. To get ready for the Word, be prepared to be able to receive the Word. Amen. What do we decree? I decree that my ears, heart, and spirit are open to receive the engrafted Word of God, which is quick, alive, and powerful, active in the spirit of meekness. The ground of my life is fertile to nurture and grow the seed of God's Word that will produce fruit in my life this week. I am a successful doer of what I will hear today, and I will leave here today full of faith, love, power, wisdom, and victory. Amen. 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 When we log off today, we'll be full of faith, love, power, wisdom, and victory. Hallelujah. 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 I'm excited. We start a new sermon series. Thank God and give honor to my pastor, Pastor Lincoln Nelson, and his lovely wife, Prophetess Larissa Nelson, and their three daughters, in Jesus' name. Just give honor to them, give honor to our apostles, you know, continue to keep him in prayer as well as his family, as well as all of the Hang On Ministry Church of Philadelphia family. But definitely give my honor to our leaders here as they have graced me with the opportunity and with the responsibility to be able to share the Word this morning. So kind of the honor and the privilege to be able to share the Word with you this morning. Amen. Well, we're going to get right into the Word in Jesus' name. Our new sermon series is Breaking Point. Breaking Point. We're going to be talking about that breaking point, the different things in life, the different places in life, and really where we are right now. I believe, you know, not just for us personally, but when we begin to look around the different places of life, different avenues of life, different, markets of life, you know, just all the different things from political to educational to everything in life has been shooken to a point that it is at a point of breaking, you know, and, you know, at that breaking point, it gets very, very, very interesting. Things come to a point of breaking. Amen. I'm not going to go too much into everything. Amen. But we're going to be talking about breaking point. So please grab your Bibles. Like to take notes. We encourage you to take notes, so you can begin to really remember and be able to apply, be able to go back and rehearse those things that really stuck out to me that God will speak to you. Amen. 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 Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And we're going to go verses 1 through 5. Amen. So David, therefore, departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam, the cave of Adullam. And when his brother and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of All right. Amen. Amen. Today, we're going to be talking about breaking point with the subtitle, What's the Point? What's the Point? What's the Point? I don't know if you've ever been to a place in your life, and I'm pretty sure if you've been living long enough, and this is not even outside of, you know, just because, you know, you may be grown, but, you know, you even might be a young child. And there are times in life when what you're dealing with, whether, you know, however, whoever looks at it or anything, you come to a place where you feel like, what is the point of me dealing with everything that I'm dealing with? What is the point of me actually bearing the pressure of life, bearing the pressure of my responsibilities? What is the point? We want reasons, we want understanding, we want, you know, some kind of direction. And sometimes we just get to that place of like, you know, what's the point? What is the point of this? Because we feel like at times that it is pointless, that why is this happening to me? Why is this being allowed in my life? Why is this the result of certain things that have happened in my life? Amen. 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 And I think that even when we look around, it's almost like, you know, what's the point? You know, I think some people, you know, I've talked to some people, even in my family, they're like, you know, what's the point of wearing a mask? You know, they say this, they say that. What's the point? We don't know what's going on. What's the point? There's so much uncertainty. What's the point? What's the point of it? And I'm not encouraging anybody not to wear their mask. Amen. I'm just talking about the mindset that comes out of a place of frustration because of uncertain times, because of the fear of different things that's going on, because of the pandemic, because of the different things that we're facing, even as society, and not just that, but even we see so many different things that are happening from, you know, the pandemic of sickness, but not just the pandemic of that, but just how it affects every single part of life and how it has affected politics, how it has affected people's homes, how it has affected people's income. Businesses are shutting down, stuff is being closed down, and it's almost like, God, what is the point of me going forward and saying I want to achieve more, I want to do more? Amen. Now, for some people, they'd be like, you know, I got a point. You know, but the point is, I still want to do some of the things that I want to do. The point is, I know God has got me, and I'm going to actually walk into those things that God has said. But for some people, you know, for some of us, sometimes it's like, God, I'm dealing with so much pressure, so much frustration. What is the point? So when we pick up David here in chapter 22, and I'm just going to kind of, you know, give a little bit of history about where we're coming from, because I do believe that even when we look at David's life, that there are some things, there are some times where, and as we look into some of the Psalms, we see some of the frustration, we see the raw emotions that he dealt with through the different parts of life. So I don't think that David was just so, you know, just so stoic about things that nothing moved him. He was very moved. He was an easily moved person if you really, really look at it. He was not afraid to go through the range of his human emotions and still find God in the midst of it. He was not trying to be too religious. He was not trying to be so spiritual in a sense. And when I say that, I'm saying kind of in the sense of being so spiritual that you deny emotions, you know, that you deny this is how you really feeling, that you deny this is what's going on with you, you know. He was not trying to be like that. He would go through the things that, the different range of emotions on the inside of him, and he would take these things to God, whether they were raw, whether they were good, whether they were righteous, whether they were bad, whatever it was, he took those things to God. And I believe that at this particular point, that I believe that he had to be some question of, what is the point, God? He was at a breaking point. Now, when we see David coming into play, when you go all the way back to chapter 16, we see him being anointed as king. As a young man, it is, you know, some people say, you know, he was either between 10 or 15. We know he was at least a teenager. We're pretty sure about that to a certain extent. It does not give us anything specific in scripture that really tells us how old he really, really was. Amen. You know, but as he's anointed as king, as Samuel comes to his house and goes through all his brothers, and he deals with the rejection of his father, you know, of being forgotten and everything, you know, and now he's anointed, chosen by God because of that secret place, because of those things that he did before God, the time that he spent with God. Amen. Now, in from chapter 16, from him being anointed to now chapter 17, we see him going against Goliath. Now, this was pretty much where he began to just, bam, he's on the scene now. He defeats the giant everybody's afraid of and everything, and he defeats this giant. Now, after defeating this giant, he gets famous. But not only does he become famous, but he changes his location from staying with his father Jesse to now going to the palace and becoming the son-in-law of the king, King Saul, which was a part of the, you know, the agreement or the reward that King Saul put out there, you know, that you will have my daughter, you know, that you will be a part of the king's family if you destroy this giant. Nobody thought that he could do it. Nobody thought that he was old enough. One thing, he wasn't in the army. We don't believe during that time that he was old enough to serve in the military in that time. So we can't kind of say that he had to be under 20 years old. Amen. So him being under 20 years old, going out, defeating Goliath, now becoming famous, and with this fame, where he was now given this place of favor immediately, almost, when we really go to chapter 18, begins to turn the tables on him, to where now, because of the fame and the women are, you know, praising his name, and they are shouting, you know, given the comparison between him and King Saul of how great David was. And Saul begins to see, not only are the people praising him, but God, he begins to see that God is with him, and he is very, very cognizant of, he's very conscious of, that God is not with him anymore. So he begins to eye David. You know, the Bible says in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 18 that Saul began to eye him. He began to give him the evil eye, you know. He began to give him that jealousy, the hatred, the things that, you know, that begin to build up in his heart. And now we know that Saul began to now want to kill David, because now he's not a hero no more to Saul. Now he is a major threat to the kingdom. He's a major threat to, you know, the things that, he's a major threat to the kingdom. He's a major threat to the future of what Saul wanted to be. And because of that, he conspires to kill him. We need to understand that he tries to kill him numerous times. He tries to kill him. Amen. So in verse 19, we see that David goes on the run from verses 19 all the way up until, chapter 19 all the way up to chapter 22, where we find ourselves here today. He's on the run, you know, and being on the run from going from this place of high, you know, to where now, you know, he's anointed as king. He didn't ask for it. God just chose him. You know, he went to the palace. Now he's becoming he's pretty much, royalty. He's becoming a part of the king's family. And now his king, you know, the king is his father-in-law. Now he gets almost like a whole another father figure, to where now, look at this. You know, his first father figure, look, you know, kind of, it seemed like he really wasn't that important. David wasn't that important to him to bring him up, you know, to be able to be looked at, to be anointed as king. It seems like from scripture that he didn't really think that highly of him. I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes in parts of our families, you know, and this is where some of us, we feel like, what's the point? What's the point of reaching out to the family? What's the point? You at a breaking point with your family. You may be at a breaking point with, you know, trying to actually help or reach out to your family because of the way that you feel like you have been treated, the way you feel like you have been handled, the way you feel like they have talked about you, the way that you tried to be there and may have been betrayed, the way you feel like they have forgotten about you and stuff like that, you know, and because of those things, you feel like, oh, well, I'm at a breaking point with this. Like, you just like, I don't know about this. You know, I don't even want to hardly deal with this no more, you know. But you see David going from there to now going to getting another father figure who now wants to kill him. you know, you got to think about this. Think about this. I really want us to go into the mind of David, the emotions of David, that now I go from one disappointment, you know, having disappointment with this father to having excitement and now disappointment again with another father. You know, it is difficult when in certain places in our life, we keep on getting the same results or worse results. It seems like the results get worse over time. Like, okay, well, I'm going to try this again. But when you tried it again, it's worse than when you tried the first time. Then you tried it again. It's worse than when you tried the second time, the third time, the tenth time. And at times in our life, we begin to say, God, what is the point of this? I'm at a breaking point with dealing with this. Amen. Now, so when we pick up here, when he's in the cave of Adullam, we can see we believe that he's at a breaking point because we, you know, it's almost like he's caught in between because we understand when you really look at David, I believe David could have took Saul, right? I believe David could have took Saul by himself, but not only is he on the run from Saul, he's on the run from a king, meaning he's on the run from a kingdom. You know, so he's at a breaking point. So what does breaking point mean? Breaking point means the point at which a situation becomes critical, a time or state of affairs requiring prompt or decisive action. The point at which something or someone gives way under strain. I'm going to repeat that. The point at which a situation becomes critical, meaning something, and it kind of really goes into the next part of that definition, a time or state of affairs requiring prompt or decisive action. The point at which something or someone gives way under strain. Think about this. Where we live at in our society, even here in America still right now, you know, we see things have become critical. You know, and not only have they become critical for a nation, and because they have become critical for a nation, it has become critical for many people's lives, personally, in their homes. What is going to happen? What is their future about? You know, where do they place their hope at? It's a time or state of affairs requiring prompt or decisive action. We see people are waiting to see what are the decisions that's going to be made about our future, about our government, about, you know, different policies that are being put in place. But even with that, as people are waiting on that, we have people that are now having to say, okay, what am I going to do right now while I'm waiting on this? It's a breaking point that we're at. You know, it's a breaking point that we're at even as a society. The society, the different systems of society are under strain. Some of them are giving way some. We see the weaknesses coming out in the economic system. We see the weaknesses coming out as far as even in the system of how people are supported and stuff like that. You know, we see suicides going up, all these different things, mental illness going up. And not just that, we see the sickness actually still going on. Amen. So, but all with all of that going on, we still are trying to live our lives. The strain of dealing with all of these different stressors that are around us, dealing with all the different news that you may be hearing or not hearing, whether you're listening or not, but having to deal with the different things that people are doing, the different things that businesses are doing, the different way you're having to change life. And life now has been changed and it has caused such a strain when people, because generally we do not like change. For some of us, that pulls us to a point of breaking because we don't like to have to change abruptly. We don't like to have to change to where we don't have a choice whether we was going to change or not. You have to do this. You know, if you want this result, this has to happen. So for some of us, we're under the strain of not only was my life difficult before this, I already had some things pending. I had some things that was going on. I had some things that was really already stressing me. But now I'm at a point of breaking because this is adding more stress to my life. Everything around me is adding more stress. You know you're at a point of breaking when it's hard for you to have a regular conversation. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for you to sit down and talk about certain issues that stress you. You know, it's hard for you to stay calm about things. You know, you're at a point where the different stressors are coming to break something in you that you start to give way under the different things that you're dealing with because of the things that are weighing on you. You know, when you get frustrated easy. You know, when you get when it's hard for you to sit down and communicate with another person about stuff. You know, when it's hard for you to deal with life, deal with living from day to day. You'd rather just not deal with it. I don't want to get too far into where I'm going to be in a little bit. I don't want to get too far. Amen. So when we pick up here in verse 20, in chapter 22, we go to verse 1, we see David, therefore, said he's still on the run, having, you know, we see he just had to get him some food. You know, he had to get him, you know, some, you know, he pretty much, he's homeless now. You talking about going from living in a palace to now you homeless. I mean, come on, you know, how much more stress do you need? You know, so we see now, it says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And his brother and all his father's house heard it, and they went down visiting him. Now, this particular cave is about 2 miles north of Jerusalem, and it's real close to Judah. It's not really a part of Judah, but it's kind of really neighboring where the city was a part of Judah, but the cave was outside of that city. So it was outside, a little bit of outside of Judah, right? So, and that's where some of us are. We in a place in between praise and worship. We in a place where it's almost like, God, I don't know if I can praise you the way I used to. I don't know if I can worship you the way I used to. I don't know how to go back down to worship, and I don't know how to get back to the place of praise. But it seems like when I get into this cave helps me, it protects me, at least helps me to pass the time while I'm trying to figure out what am I going to do, what is going on with my life. But I try to gather and collect myself, collect my spirit, collect my thoughts, collect my plans, collect my future. I'm having to get into this cave. I gotta hide out. And for some of us, that's what we're doing. We hiding out. Hiding from our problems by not talking about it. We hiding from the issues that we've had for a long time by not really, you know, addressing it. We hiding from things because we understand, because what some of us really deal with is we deal with a fear that if I really, really talk about it, if I really deal with this, it's going to reveal something about me. Because the issue, the different problems, the sin, or whatever it is, or even if it's family, or if it's some other situation that's financial, whatever it is, whatever the stresses are that we're dealing with in life, it reveals things about us and reveals things about our faith. It reveals whether we believe like we say we believe. It believes whether we're going to be faithful like we said we was going to be faithful. It reveals the weaknesses and it reveals the different places in our life where we are unfaithful to God. And it reveals the different places in our life where we say, you know what, God, I could just walk away. At least, and for some of us, we say, well, I'll never walk away from God, but I sure take a break. I surely will. I would take a long break from him because I know God going to be there because he always said he's going to be there because he's going to hold up his end of the bargain. He's going to hold up his end of the covenant, but I know he'll kind of just deal with me. But that time is coming to an end. Amen. So he went down to this cave. This cave is in between these two places. And this is where some of us are. We in between these two. We can't seem to, the praise is not, you know, your praise life is not strong enough to where the presence of God can come in, and the worship life is not consistent enough to settle you, give you peace or give you rest. You know what I'm saying? So it becomes difficult for you to handle life because everything flows from that place. And it's amazing to me, you know, that even as we came out of this last series, you know, that really God was really setting us up to be able to handle our life, you know, to be able to handle that out of the secret place, we'll be able to, you know, really, you know, be collected enough on the inside to handle our life. But how many of us got God on hold? How many of us really heard that particular sermon series as far as the blacking out and getting into a place of worship? How many of us did it a few times or didn't do it at all or heard it and said, you know, that was good, but not really saying I'm going to go all the way in? Because it's from that place that we begin to collect everything so we can handle life. Life may not change. For David, I believe he knew, okay, this man is not going to stop until he kills me. He's not going to stop. Now, at this particular point in time in his life, because we see after he went into the king's palace, we see, we don't know what time, but at some point in time, he was actually put over the men of war. So he was let into the military, in a sense. Now, whether Saul made an exception for him because of his exploits and because of the things that he did, we don't know. But we can infer here just a little bit that at least he had to be probably older than 20. So we're talking about somebody from teenager to 20 years old dealing with all of this stress. But for some of us, when you look back at your life, when you look back at your younger days, you dealt with the most stress. You dealt with the most things. You dealt with the most, you know, the most things were coming at you, trying to destroy you. Some things we welcomed, and then some things they just kind of barged into our life. You know what I mean? And some things were just passed down from our family line. You know, so he is at this young age dealing with all of these stressors. Dealing with all this stuff that now is trying to break him, kill him, really, destroy him. And why? And we never see David say this about this situation that I can recall. But this all is initiated by God. This all is initiated because God chose you. For some of us, that is our issue. God, I'm in this place in between because you chose me, and now I'm having to deal with all this. You chose me to have to walk through this stuff. You knew this was going to happen. You knew that I was going to have to walk through these things. You knew, you know, and for some of you, you're at a breaking point with your relationship with God. You're at a breaking point with your relationship with him because when the rubber meets the road, for some of us, we just blame God. God, you are really the reason why this is going on. Because if you never anointed me, if you never poured the oil on me, if you never chose me for this particular thing, I wouldn't have said yes. I could have just been what I was doing. Maybe I could have just been just a regular little church member, you know what I'm saying, going to somewhere to where, you know, they ain't really, you know, trying to, you know, live too much like that because, you know, they are different places, they have different standards, amen. And you know, maybe I could be somewhere where I'm not having to be bothered too much, you know, trying to live holy, live right, and do what's right, and repent, and all this other stuff. But you chose me to do it right. You chose me, man. You chose everybody to do it right. But you chose me to be part of a remnant that would uphold that right standard, amen. So, and not only now am I in danger, but look at this. Look at the pressure, because this is what I begin to, when I really begin to look at the scripture, his father's house is coming down, not because to support him. They're coming down because if the king and the kingdom is after you, then we're not safe from you. For some of us, that's what it is. It's like, okay, God, you chose me. Now I seem like my child in danger. Now I seem like my family in danger. And everything comes back to me, what I do and what I don't do. How is it fair that you put all this pressure on me for my family, for the future of my family? Not just the future of my family, but the future of a kingdom, the future of a nation. How is it that you're allowing all this pressure to be on me? Because you chose me, because you called me, because you chose me to walk a certain type of way, you chose me to fulfill a certain calling that I didn't ask for, that I didn't want. I was fine out there with the sheep, doing what I was doing, worshiping you. We was good. We didn't have any issues. I was fine being a shepherd. But it's right there in that place that God said, it's right here where I chose you because I know you will and you can. I chose you because I know outside of all of that frustration that you can take this break. Outside of all of this, you can take it. And it's meant for you to get to this point. See, for some of us, it's meant for some of us to get to this point. It is God's purpose that God, you supposed to be right there, frustrated, indifferent, upset, mad, don't know what to do, loss of a desire for God, loss of a desire to do what's right, dry, not really happy about even serving God anymore. Yeah, he said, look, I'll allow you to get to that place because I have to break you. Because for some of us, that's the only time that God can get to us because we won't come willingly. We so stubborn, we won't come willingly. And the things that need to be broken in us is so deep, we don't know how to get to. So he allows the things to come to break us down deeper than where we would willingly go. We won't go that deep, but God know how to get there. God know how to allow different things, use different things, the different things that affect us to get us to a place to where we, you know what, God, I give up. What's the point of fighting? See, that's the real thing he wants. What's the point of fighting? What's the point of stopping now? What's the point of giving up now? What's the point of turning back now? What's the point? I might as well be right here and stay right here. Hallelujah. So when we go to verse 2, verse 2 says, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Come on, look at this. God, it's like, what is it? How do you think that I can handle this type of pressure? This pressure that I'm dealing with. And when we look at, when we look at the definition for pressure, I want to talk about pressure because we're talking about a breaking point. We're talking about pressure being put in one area or multiple areas to the point to where it's about to give way. Pressure is the action of a force against an opposing force. And you feel like something is constantly coming against you. You feel like you're constantly going against the grain. You feel like you're constantly having to push through something. Nothing seems to be easy. Life, living, just cooking a meal, trying to take care of the children, nothing seems to be easy. Everything seems to be hard. The stress or urgency of matters demanding attention, meaning when you want to rest, you can't rest because things demand your attention. That's pressure. That's pressure. Because when I can't get the proper rest, I can't respond properly. I don't feel like I'm together properly. I don't feel like I can handle things the way I need to handle them. This is why some of us, when people ask us questions, we explode. Especially if they ask us more than two or three times. Especially if they ask us more, stop asking me. Why? Because I feel stressed by you asking me. I feel stressed because you're demanding my attention when I don't want to give it. I need a break. And I'm trying not to be broken. I need a break from everything. Hallelujah. It's the stress, the urgency of matters, the things that are demanding my attention, pulling on me so much that, God, I don't know what to do. or the pressure exerted in every direction by the weight of the atmosphere. Oh, I love this particular definition right here. The pressure exerted in every direction by the weight of the atmosphere. And sometimes it's not, I'm in an okay place, but everything around me, oh, is trying me. Everything around me, the weight of what I'm having to deal with around me, it seems like as soon as you get to an okay place, everybody around you not there. Everybody around you seems to have a lot of issues. Everything that you're having to deal with, the people you're connected to, the issues that they're dealing with, and now you're being pulled into the weight of what's going on with them, and that causes pressure. How are you handling the pressure at this breaking point? How are you handling the pressure of the change that you're having to go through at this breaking point? Hallelujah. So we go back to verse 2. The different pressure, I had to think about this, like, he's under this much pressure, and everyone that is in distress, everyone that is in debt, and everyone that's discontented. It's like, okay, God, I don't know if this is supposed to be help. Does this supposed to be assistance? For some of us, this is what we feel like. You're coming to help me, but you're not really helping me. You don't recognize the help. The help still needs something from you. We want the help to come and just relieve. No. The help still needs something from you. More pressure. The help is going to come and break you first while you help them. Think about the pressure that is on this man. This man now running for his life, and now he's not only responsible for his own life, now he's responsible for 400 men, 400 more people. People that don't have nothing to, don't have anything to give emotionally, financially, spiritually. They don't have anything to give. They don't have it. They're empty, but they got skills. They're empty, but the gifting is there. They're empty, but they don't know how to pull their lives together, and they're putting their hope in him. They're putting the hope of their family, their future, everything that they're going to be dealing with, everything that what their life is going to look like, because they see he is the one that God has chosen. And this is what some of us, we don't want that in our lives, especially in our families. We don't want that. Okay, people pulling on you because you are the one that God has chosen. You're having to initiate everything because nobody else will, because you are the one that God has chosen. You're not okay with everything not being the way it's supposed to be. You're not okay with stuff not being the way it's supposed to be because you are the one that God has chosen. For the purpose of bringing together a family, for the purpose to bring things together for a nation or a city or a community. There's in distress. What does distress mean? Meaning they were in painful situations or a state of danger or desperate need. So they come with needs. They come in not to fulfill a need, but they come in with needs. They come to offer their service, but they don't have much to give but themselves. Lord, have mercy. They're coming. They don't have much to give. This is why you try to pull everybody together. Do y'all got any ideas? No. Everybody quiet. And then when you're the one that got all the ideas, then everybody think that then they're gonna say you think you're better than everybody. But nobody else is saying anything. Y'all in distress. You don't have anything to give. But because I got something to give, then I'm the one that's the enemy. Because I got something to give, then I'm the one that gets looked at to be like, oh, I'm trying to be better than you. No. come on now. So look at this. He said they was in danger, desperate, and debt. This word debt means bankrupt. It don't just mean like that they, you know, they had some credit cards to pay off. It means they were broke, like super broke. They didn't have anything. Meaning, so if David now didn't have no food for himself or a way to get food, he figured that out in the chapter before for himself. Now he got to figure out how we're gonna eat for 401 people, you know, because I gotta eat too. Now it's like, okay, God, why are you putting this on me right now? This seems like the wrong time, but it's not the wrong time. That's what God wants you to know. It's not the wrong time. It's not an inconvenient time. It is the perfect time because God wants to get the most out of us. God wants to get the very depthness out of who we are and who we're supposed to be. He wants to get everything that he has promised, the potential, he wants it to be maxed out. And it ain't maxed out until you get to your breaking point. It's not maxed out until you get to that breaking point and you decide what are you going to do when you get there. You decide how are you going to handle being at this place. Everyone that was in debt, they were broke. They ain't had no money. We're trying to figure out what are we going to do. God is saying, like, you added problems to my life, not solved them. You didn't solve the problems, you added them. You're multiplying problems, God. And we're always trying to get to this place that somehow or another we feel like that everything's supposed to just come together without this particular process beginning to happen in our lives, where it takes us deeper within ourselves than where we're willing to go all by ourselves. Yes, he was a worshiper. This is how he knew. Oh, if I keep on putting it, it's just going to drive him more than me. This is my will. They were discontented, meaning they were bitter. Meaning these were people, it's hard for them to have conversations. It's hard for them. These are people who quick temper. People who, you know, did you drink all the water? This is the only clean water we had. How are you going to drink all the water? These are these type of people. They're discontented. We don't think that there was not a bunch of peace in the camp. This man scared for his life. Everybody else broke, busted, and disgusted. Literally. They probably treated him okay because they had respect for him and they had hope in him. But each other, oh, we don't know. The scripture doesn't say. But what I do know about men don't always get along. And men ain't about sharing a whole bunch of food and drink and stuff like that. Like when we got to share, not unless there's true brotherhood. And maybe there was. But people they're dealing with their own stresses for their families and for their life. And now they're saying, okay, you know, you got to think, you know, now, you know, some of them, you know, some of their wives, like, why are you going to go? He ain't the king yet. Why don't you just wait till he become king and then go serve him? How you going to serve me? He still can't help us and we broke. How you going to serve him now? And he's not doing anything for us. Come on. Yeah. So these are men having to deal with all these different type of things. And I'm not saying all their wives was like that. Amen. Some of their wives was like, go serve. You know, some of their wives were probably like, yes, go serve the king. We can do this. We're going to be with him. We believe what God has said about him and everything, right? But we do know, you know, that might have been a few men who had some, that might have been wavering too at times. Like, what are we going to do? We need direction from you. Amen. So he became captain over them. And as he becoming the captain over them, this is the life of a great leader. You're having to deal with people who are not really ready for where they are, for where God is going to take them, but they're with you. Amen. So even when we're talking about, and I believe that even near the end of our last sermon series, there was a call to men to really get into place before God in worship, get in place for their families, get in place and lead. Lead. Why? Because the life of a great leader is to take what you have and multiply, make it better, pour into it until you feel like you're empty, and go to the one that can fill you. Amen. Come on, let's go to verse 3. So, and in verse 3, he says, "And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God would do for me." Look at this. We already know, you know, he is upset about, you know, I need to get protection for my family. I don't know what Saul is going to do. He hates me so much that he may kill my parents. You know, I'm having to go to outside nations, nations that may not even really, you know, we have a whole lot of favor with like that. You know, at some point later on, he begins to stay in Philistine with the Philistines, the people he defeated to get to the place of fame, you know what I'm saying, and find favor with them to even be at the place to where he can be protected for a little while and wait until Saul dies. But he's having to go to unconventional places to get protection for his family. I mean, he's been stretched 6 ways past Sunday. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he is being stretched. Like, this is totally outside of the comfortability of the palace. And the comfortability of having the men of war that were up under him and everything, you know, being with him, amen? And in the midst of all this, he still don't know what God's going to do. And this is the thing, when we get to this place, it is amazing to me, too, that we see David still looking towards God. I'm not saying he didn't go through his range of emotions. I'm not saying that, you know, he didn't go through maybe times of doubt, maybe times of anger and frustration. I'm not saying that. I believe that. I believe David was quite human. Amen. But I think that his heart was so fixed with God that he still was like, God, until I know what you're going to do, until I get your instructions, your direction, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. So how do you handle being at your breaking point? Because it can go either way. It could go either way. Either way it could go. You could be broken to the place to where God now has a lot more control over you. Or we break and say, what's the point? What's the point in doing this? And we just get indifferent towards God. The breaking point and the pressure, how do we handle it? A couple of ways that people handle it the wrong way, a few ways. Escapism. Are you trying to sleep this time pass until it passes by? Are you escaping to Netflix, TV, sports? Where are you escaping to instead of digging in to this place? Where are you escaping to? Is it the TV? Is it food? Sleep, Facebook, social media, where are you going to get a break instead of going to and digging into that place of breaking? Isolation, depression, anger, indifference are some of the ways that we handle pressure. I know for me, you know, when I get frustrated and it's something, I want to be isolated and I have to watch myself and there's a lot of pressure that I'm being isolated with God. Now, there are times that I have just been like, yeah, I just need a minute. And sometimes I'll take it in the car. Sometimes I'll take it, you know, before I come in the house. I just need a minute. But, you know, I was sitting down talking to my mom. My mom gave me some wisdom from a woman's perspective that she began to understand when we was growing up of why, you know, how God had to teach her how to handle my dad, as far as how he came in the house, giving him a minute, stuff like that, because there was one point in time, and I know he won't mind me just being honest, he had lost his license. When he wasn't saved and stuff like that, DUI and everything, he lost his license because he told me that the Lord even told him then not to go. You know, he knew he supposedly went home. He didn't listen to it. And back then, even when he was not with God, God was trying to protect him. And they told us this story. And I remember the time. My mom was very frustrated with him at times because she couldn't get any rest. He had like two jobs, so she had to drive him everywhere so he wouldn't get arrested. Town is small. So they really, you know, he really couldn't get away. And they was already kind of watching him anyway because he works late at night. So she said, you know, it was a big old van that she had to drive. It had a stick shift on the steering wheel. And I remember the van. And it was loud and it was, you know, it was going back and forth. It was hot. It was this, it was that, you know. And she began to, when she dealt with the frustration of the noise, the people pulling on you, doing all this, she said the Holy Spirit began to teach her, this is why sometimes, you know, why you come to him and then you're coming to him with four or five different things and then he's frustrated because he's not, all of this has been coming at him all this time. While he's been out there working and doing this and doing that, you know, and I believe it goes both ways. I think, you know, if you have a very stressful job and stuff like that, I think it can go both ways that, you know, we need a reprieve to kind of settle ourselves, you know. But I think the Lord was just trying to give her understanding of how to deal with him, what to say, how to give him a moment, how to let him kind of be, because now she had to deal with it and she needed moments to kind of be before she could deal with a whole bunch of more other stuff. What am I trying to say? There was pressure there. There was breaking that was going on there. There was pressure on the relationship. There was pressure on time. There was pressure on, you know, there was a breaking point of them having to deal with their particular situation, however long it took. So sometimes there was anger. You know, there was frustration. There was bitterness. You know what I'm saying? There was different things that I know they had to go through and deal with, right? But God still gave her some understanding through it. Amen. Now, the good way to handle when you're at this breaking point is extreme focus, extreme prayer, extreme change of your routine. Why am I saying extreme? Because what is coming at us many times is greater than the effort or the energy and, you know, the things that we're already doing. What we're already doing is not helping us. So if we choose the other way while we're trying to see what God is going to do, God is saying, like, look, I'm trying to see what you're going to do. Are you going to seek me to see what I'm going to do? Are you going to stay with me to see what I'm going to do? Are you willing to give up that time, your personal time? Are you willing to give up that time when you weren't really doing nothing anyway and give it to me? Are you willing to give up that time when you working on this, you working on, you got so many things we're working on, instead of working on our relationship with God in an extreme way that we want to be close to him because of the things that we are dealing with. Amen? So when we go to verse 4, and say, and now it says that he brought them before the king of Moab and they dwelt they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. In the hold. That word hold here means fortress. It's like, you know, pretty much these caves, it was big caves in this particular area. It was outside of the city of Adullam. And these was like a place of protection. But it wasn't a good place of protection. There are people literally waiting for us to come out of the cave. There are people waiting for us to handle and see how we're going to handle this pressure, to come out of the place of false protection, to come out of the place of self-preservation, to come out of this place of where we're just worried about us. Because you see, what did God do? As soon as he said, okay, you get somewhere safe and you feel like you're good, I'm going to make you responsible for all these people. Why? Because I don't want you to feel like that it's just about you. I don't want you to just cover you. I don't want you just to preserve you. Your life is not just about you. It's about other people. Yes, of course, God is concerned about our life, but our lives are fulfilled as we begin to fulfill those things that we're supposed to do with other people in our life. So there are people literally waiting. They had to literally wait until he came out of the hole to see what God was going to do, what God was going to say to him. Come on, give me verse 5. So as he comes out of the hole, the prophet Gad begins to talk to him. We don't see the prophet saying, oh, well, thus saith the Lord. We don't see anything. We don't see that, right? But we see him give him a word and begin to prophesy to him. Because when we're in false security, we feel like we're okay. Because it feels like maybe I had a break from the breaking. Look at this. God says, abide not in the hole. This is what the prophet is telling him. The prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hole. So God says, go back out there where it's dangerous. Go into that place that frustrates you. That's what God wants us to know today. Go right into the place where you don't want to go. Deal with the things that you don't want to deal with. Talk about the stuff you don't want to talk about. Let it break you for God. Let it break you for him. Because in the place of false security, we're really making a choice to pull away. In the place where we feel like, oh, well, we're in a stronghold, in the cave, I got a break. We're really making a choice to pull away from the process. This was the process of him getting to the kingdom. This was the process of him getting to that place where he was ready to be king, not just anointed. See, for some of us, you're anointed, but we're not ready. Because we're not ready for what God has anointed us for. We think we do because we have a certain level of knowledge or a certain level of experience. But there's a certain level of process that God only can give through the things that we walk through, that where the character is formed, that Christ is formed in us through the things that we have to go through, that we choose God through those hard areas, that we choose God's way. When we don't want to go his way, when it does not seem like that it is right to do that. That's the place where we get formed. This is why even in the song, he said, your ways are so beyond me. Sometimes I don't know what God is doing. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that I know what God is doing all the time. Sometimes I'm confused about myself. I'm confused about God. I'm confused. Not that God is confusing, but because his ways are beyond me, I need his help to be able to know what's going on with me, what's going on with my family, what's going on with my future. I need to know what's going on with him. And that's what he wants. He wants us to get before him more than we have been, to worship him more than we have been, to spend more time with him, not in the sense of, oh, I just got to spend this particular time with God so I can fulfill this particular requirement. No, it has to become much deeper than this. It has to become like that river of living water that's supposed to be something that is constantly flowing through our life that you can't shut off. That's what God wants. He wants something that we can't control no more. Something that we can't cut off anymore. Something that we cannot say, you know what, God, I'm just going to stop. That you can't do that. When you give up your choice, you give up your will, when you give up your mindset, where it don't matter how frustrated you are, it don't matter how much pressure is on you, that type of breaking to where the stubbornness gets broken, the rebellion really gets broken. To some of them, we feel like, well, I want more of God, and I spent time with him, and I felt this presence, so you feel like we can have more of him. But God said, I want more of us. That's what God wants. He wants more of us. See, God don't have a problem sharing himself. Oh, he don't have a problem sharing himself with those that desire him. But it's us that we have a problem sharing with God. He said, abide not the hole. Get out there where it's dangerous. When you read in the next verse, we don't have to go there. It talks about how David now is discovered. just discovered where he was, meaning he was hid. He was okay. I come to tell you this morning, come out of the hole. I come to tell you, come out of the cycle. Because the same thing, a fortress or a stronghold, the things that we deal with now, the cycle of the mindset, come out of the cycle. I come to tell you, abide not in the place where you have been. I come to tell you, let the breaking break you. What's the point? It's everything. Everything is on the line. Your future, your family, everything is literally on the line. And I'm not talking about in a way I'm saying like, oh, well, you know, we have to do this. We got to give God praise. No, I'm talking about literally your life. Our lives are on the line. The lives of our future family, or the life of our children, it is on the line. We got to come out. The process is not finished. You must continue to move forward. I know you may be tired. I know you may be frustrated. I know you may be angry, indifferent. You may be in debt. You may be bankrupt. You may be bitter. You may not feel like you have anything to give in your spirit like you used to. You got to keep on going and come out of that place. Depart and get to where? Get to the land of Judah. For some of us, you may be 2 miles away from worship. Many worship may be just a little bit far away. But Judah is real close, because all you got to do is open up your mouth and begin to give him praise. Open up your mouth and begin to give him the glory. All you got to do is open up your mouth and begin to give him the honor. And let it take you to the place of Jerusalem. Let it take you to the place of peace. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Right there at your house, you ought to just wave your hand. Right there at your house, right there wherever you at, you ought to just begin to lift up your voice and say, God, you are still worthy. Think about everything to try to make him not be worthy. And God will say, you're still worthy of the praise. You're still worthy of my honor. You're still worthy, God. Hallelujah. For some of us, we got God on hold. God is on hold. He's on hold. Like somebody on hold on the phone. He's on hold waiting for your call. Our relationship with God is on hold. To some of us, we have repented halfway. Meaning you turn some, but you ain't turned all the way yet. You got to come all the way out. You got to come all the way out of that place of holding and depart. And it says, and then David departed and came into the forest of Arad. Depart, get out. Come on, you got to fight with everything you got to get out. Come on, let it break. Let it cause you to get to a breakthrough. Let that pressure push you into that place of breaking with God, where it breaks something on the inside of you. When you're able to give that part of heart, that part of your heart that you've been holding back, that part of your heart you say you would never let get hurt anymore, that part of intimacy that you said nobody will ever get that anymore, nobody ever go, that you've been covering up yourself, that part that's hurting, that part that's hard. See, some of them, we feel like, well, my heart ain't hard because when he calls, do you come? If he calls and you don't come, your heart is hard. I'm talking about me. This is something he told me. So yeah, your heart is hard. If I call you and you don't come and you put me on hold, your heart is hard. If our relationship is on your terms and not mine, then your heart is hard. Because then you say, well, today, harden not your heart. What if you hear his voice? Call him. It's time to come out of the dry place. Come out of the bitter place. You can't wait on nobody else. You can't wait for your spouse. You can't wait for your children. You can't wait for everybody to get right. You got to do it on your own and begin to shift some stuff on your own. If they're willing to come, amen. But if they're not, don't get discouraged. Do it for yourself. Come out. Come out. Come out of the hole. Break the pattern. You're at the point of breaking. We're at the point of breaking. We must take advantage of this place. Amen. 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 We want to be broken before you, God. Broken before you. Deal with the fear that comes from us being broken. Feeling like we wasn't protected, God. We want to be broken before you. Not in a pretense or a cliche manner, God, but for real on the inside of us, something that we can't change. Hallelujah. I hope and pray that you got something from the word today. Hallelujah. I know it blessed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I have to stop stopping and going with my relationship with God. He got to have all of me. Amen. And I want all of him. Hallelujah.